I literally thought, you know what? Excuse me, since Amazon's so much cheaper on SlimFast and I can only drink the original SlimFast with the high protein, I can't stomach that. The high protein and the whatever the new stuff is, but the powder. I was like, you know what? I'm going to order from Amazon because I'm noticing everything I buy is so much cheaper through Amazon. And then I'm part of like a discount program with the podcast and with things with my health and stuff, but I'm not going to get anything. But talk about that another time. For people who have chronic illness and that, there's a program with through Amazon. You can get like Amazon Prime membership dirt cheap. I mean, we're talking under 10 bucks a month, like half of it. Let's just say I'll do another podcast about that. But I was running out of SlimFast. I'm like, you know what? I should just order it, you know, through Amazon because it's cheaper. Well, I order it through Amazon. And then I'm like, okay, it would help to look to see if there's any delays on 2 day Prime. And I'm like, great. And I'm like, well, too late now. Can't ship it until Tuesday. Great, this week. This coming week. I ordered it Friday. I was like, all right, well, no big deal. I'll just order it through Walmart warehouse, you know? Because what I drink in a flavor and that usually don't have it in store. Don't you know I order it through Walmart? It's delivering Tuesday. This coming week. I'm like, really? That's the SlimFast way of life. I've been doing SlimFast. I lost track how long I've been doing SlimFast. Let's see. Only thing I can really handle. Doesn't make me nauseous. I can't do Boost for sure. I've tried it all. I mean, I literally have tried it all. I gave up. You know, as they say, the old saying, why try to fix something if it's not broken? And literally where I'm at with it. But I'm like, great. So I like settle for oh God. Drinking the rest of my Premier Protein root beer flavor, which does not taste anything like root beer. Oh no. And I have to water it down anyway, but I'm like, you know what? Or let's get some of these coffee creamers and try to mix it up. Let's try to down the root beer flavor to it. But yeah, if you get stuff through Amazon, I'm telling you, it's so much cheaper. Oh, and then getting, you know, get a Prime membership in that. You don't realize how much money you're saving until you start pricing stuff out. You know, everybody's on a budget and everybody's wanting to cut costs and, you know, save pennies, so to speak. So I've got like a long week next week. And I've got a hearing on that coming up. And it's a major, major hearing on the determination of judiciary judge. Federal judge is going to be a lot of changes in my life, you know. When it comes to my health, other means, you know, things with legal separation with Eric, just everything and everyone and the whole enchilada that's going to be addressed. And this has been a long time coming, and it's taken my disability attorneys a while just to gather everything that we need. And I knew from my specialist, my hospital specialist, oncology and palliative care. I knew that they were getting letters from federal and state and you know, things with my health and oncology. And there's also factors of because I'm still under Rare Cancer Institute's research. You become a case number, not by name, by research data and that. And it's, I'll tell you what, it's humbling to literally have an oncologist during my sessions and then seeing the research come to life now, and it just, you know, started over the past couple of years, is tinkering the research and realizing you're number 13 in the world is humbling. It makes me realize that when I was asked by my radiation oncology group and the specialist, my oncology team, that if I would be willing to share my journey and my oncology journey with Rare Cancer Institute and Rare Cancer Research and that to help other women who will be walking in my shoes, because there's always going to be a number 14, number 15, number 16, you know, as time goes on, and I know that. But there was no treatment plans for them to go by. Nobody had a definitive treatment program except for a young woman in England. And the problem was is she ended up having a surgery where they could encase the tumor in that. And her ovary wasn't, it was ORS, ovarian remnant syndrome, but her ovary wasn't refunctioning, functioning on its own as its own entity like mine was. So they couldn't find other 12 cases. Nobody matched. So, especially to have cancerous growths in that coming off of an organ that grew back off a microscopic fragment. It's truth. So it's humbling to realize, talking about leaving a legacy has nothing to do with monetary at the end of the journey of the day. It's really about being able to leave something behind to help others. And I'm realizing now I come full circle understanding, like, you know what? I had no hesitation to say, yes, I'll do it. I didn't know when I said, yes, I'll do it, what the kickbacks were. Is through research, drugs and stuff, I was always on top of the list. A lot of the drugs are covered that would not be covered because they're experimental and not FDA approved. When it comes to palliative care, I had a choice between palliative care or hospice care. I chose palliative care, which I'm still under at home, palliative care. I didn't realize when you continue sharing your journey till the end of your journey with, government research in that, is a lot of the medicines and the drugs that are not covered, which cost hundreds and hundreds and hundreds, if not in the thousands of dollars. They actually, so a lot of the drugs were paid for by rare cancer institutes, rare cancer research. Some of them had to be picked up through pharmacy hospital dispense that way. Others were starting to be able to get it to the drug manufacturer and have it shipped. Usually 30-day supply. My doctors will have that script called in advance. And then that way the pharmacy will contact the manufacturer and then they have it shipped to the pharmacy and then I'll be able to pick it up. I was hoping I'd be able to get all my medicines delivered, but because the type of drugs that some of them are, they cannot have it handed to somebody else. So it's literally a me having to go and get my medicine myself, which is fine. I have no problem with that. We'll eventually get there, as they said, as time goes on and, policies and things change with the government and how they handle, medications and prescriptions and that. But it's been pretty an eye-opening experience reading about yourself in these cases with ORS, with malignancy, and reading it and the research online. And there's so many articles of research now where I'm part of the research because you're number 13. You don't have a name, but you're reading about yourself. It's surreal, I think is a word, but I couldn't be more thankful. I would never change of saying yes. Go ahead. What do you need? My signature. What do you need? What paperwork do you need? Let's supply everything I'm going through with oncology treatments. Let's continue covering my journey so that way we can help other young women and ladies, no matter how old you are, with ORS or ovarian remnant syndrome that becomes with secondary malignancies, tumors. But reading about it now, it's still hard to put your it's hard to put wrap my brain around, so to speak. It still doesn't feel like me and a small percentage now. But I know it is. I have this huge hearing and everything, and multiple things are involved. Literally, this is a huge stack of everything that's been accumulated. And it's crazy because it continues growing before the hearing. And I'm literally not joking. This stack is over 4 inches high. Literally, oh, my disability attorney is like, this is the largest file I've ever seen. This doesn't even count the boxes of medical records, like over 7 boxes since you were born. We're taking everything and hammering everything and going in with everything. And the whole point is to get me back to work. We know we're in a situation where it's a government decision. And I'm going to say, and it's not a joke, literally had federal and state. And since my disability was granted in a different state, now I'm in another state. And then you have judiciary hearings and that, and you have revisions. And this is a multiple hearing going through federal hearing, hitting everything at once. Ironically, which I'm not surprised, but I'm like, wow, okay. I had disability send me a letter, eight page letter, in fact, regarding my unique case and their insight on things right before, of course, the hearing. I had state come back on different things going on an open case. That's all I can say for privacy reasons. And they put more than their 2 cents in. And you realize when people who are not involved in your life and they're non-involved parties and they're looking at things by logic and not by emotion or physical what you're going through. They don't know you, they don't know nada, and they're just looking at everything. It's pretty damning, the letters. It's not a joke. It's pretty damning. Just a screenshot and my case numbers. Was humbling. I know I'm going in, and we're going in with everything we got. This hearing is going to change my life, and it could possibly change other people. So, and I think sometimes we have to understand how we treat one another are great lessons in life that sometimes we have to be responsible and accountable for, period. I asked my attorney, disability attorney, to think we're going to be able to just, cover all the grounds in one hearing. And they said, absolutely not. I really don't think so. This is probably going to go multiple hearings, which is the truth. I'm starting to think now, with everything we have and continues growing, that this is going to be probably, they said, 60 days for a judge. Just your judge decision. I think we're going more into, they said, I was told, be warned, 90 days wouldn't be unheard of because there's so many factors and things that we're discussing. It's crazy. Really, a picture of all this is nuts. It's crazy. This file is bigger than both of my hearings with disability judiciary hearing, What I say, folks, is don't judge people by what they look like. Don't judge people by having a good day or good days. Don't judge people if you don't know the situation. Chronic illness is not something that the public would like to see on the outside. There's a lot of people who have chronic illness that you cannot see. I'm just going to say, I don't know how to say this eloquently without coming off brash or harsh, because I'm just not going to be that person. Try to cultivate, continue. Like I said, I'll continue being that pessimistic person, but cultivating positivity too is important. And I'll take 50-50 where I'm at now. But we have to be really cautious and careful how we treat people that are sick. We have to be really careful of our decisions, which are your decisions, your behavior, and your actions to people that are sick. Because sometimes our behavior and actions have consequences, and sometimes they can come back later down the road in life. And you think things are all, it's over in the past. Some things are never the past, and skeletons can be released out of closets. General rule of thumb is if you can't be of support, emotional support, and be there for someone, especially if you're on a totem pole, or even if not a totem pole, then you need to be brutally honest with people. It's probably not easy for someone who's struggling with their health to hear, hey, listen, I can't do it, I'm not capable, blah 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 blah. Be honest. But I have found this organization that does help, or my friend helps, or this family member, or this, that. Just be careful how you treat others. Be careful how you treat others. And they'd be really careful. Be aware of your behavior, your choices. Okay. Because at the end of the day, your behavior and choices are yours, and you're solely alone. Or no one else's but your own. That's the truth. I realized over this weekend, probably over the week, we had changed some of my palliative care medicine. And although I was told the side effects are, it can cause severe damage to your liver, It can cause severe damage to this organ. But the pros of it is we can eliminate a lot of the pain. We're not going to eliminate the nausea. We're going to eliminate a lot of the pain, make you feel some normalcy that we haven't been able to acquire around the clock, if not close. But the downside is you're going to lose your appetite. You have to take the good with the bad when it comes to palliative care, and the same with hospice care. The goal is to live your best life, and not be feeling miserable and not being able to live your best life. I've accomplished things this weekend. I toss it up to a great deal of medication. I don't have appetite. I'm not hungry. I'm in my 120s. I need to get back 130s. I don't physically see it possible, and neither does my oncology group, and that's okay, as I was told. When we get under 120s, then we can worry. But there's things, J tubes and things, and we could do we've not done before. But when you got to do something, you got to do. Yeah, I'm going to keep fighting, and they're going to keep fighting alongside me, and that's how it works. But I noticed this weekend, it's like also I thought about, you don't realize how much time of your life you waste of arguments and negativity and putting yourself in unhealthy situations, of how much precious time not only do you lose, but how much it affects your health, and how much you can accomplish when you stay away from negativity, you stay away from arguments, you stay away from that. You stay away if it doesn't serve you well and what's not healthy for you, and you realize how much you can accomplish, not just eliminating the stress and getting out of that lifestyle and staying out, not putting yourself in it, and being aware of your own actions, behaviors to not do it and put yourself back in things that aren't healthy, aren't good for you, but how much you can accomplish. And I realized this weekend it's not just about changing things with palliative care. And yes, some drugs are very scary and the side effects are scary, and you can't go in scared. You have to go in, and I'm in a different mindset, mind frame now. Chalk it up with therapy again is the pros to hospital specialists outweigh the cons. Palliative care, hospital care, oncology care. What we have on now, the pros outweigh the cons. The goal is to continue living life. I think my neighbors could vouch of how much I felt normal this past week, especially this weekend, able to get things done. You have a spurt of energy. I used it to my advantage. The house, I always said I wanted to go a theme of country coastal theme, because I'm not near a beach, but I'm near a body of water, and I feel a little country where I'm at. And I always wanted that. I always looked at those houses on the beach in Florida, and I always wanted to live by the beach. And the more as I got older, I realized so. How much living by the beach could, you could be in hurricanes, tsunamis, blah, 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 blah. And is it really feasible? And it's just, a fantasy, I think, when you're younger in your 20s and 30s. I love to live by the beach and that. And it's like my vision of what I would have loved to live in is literally like watching it come to life. And this evening, I like stood back and I'm like, you know what? You're damn proud of yourself, But then it's like, in a way, I think of all the time I wasted. Valuable, precious time. I can't say it enough. Valuable, precious time you waste on negativity, the same arguments. You give time, you give distance, and it just you go back to the table and dot dot didn't work last time, and then all of a sudden somebody brings back dot dot again, it's still not working, and you find yourself having to leave the table how many times? And you just get to the point to realize how precious and valuable time is, and you don't do it anymore. You just stop and you catch yourself. And then you realize all that time, but what you can accomplish, especially when you're not in that stress, And you stop being fearful of trying drugs that, yes, they have not great side effects, but realizing that if these doctors are saying the pros versus the cons, and sat down with me and told me, listen, this is where we're at. And we weren't here before oncology, before he stepped on oncology. Okay, but we're here now. And this is the future, and this is what we're looking at. And you're still alive. You beat prognosis, but it's getting tough. So now we got to put you on this. I finally said, okay, because I realized what we were on is not working. It's not enough. And then we increased it, it's not enough. And we increased it again, it's not enough. I finally said, okay, let's try this. So we came off of this stuff and, without getting into personal stuff. And I realized this weekend, like, I'm having that glimmer of hope where I have normalcy and not have this atrocious pain. I'll deal with the nausea, but I don't have the atrocious pain and I'm able to actually function and feel normal. It's nice to actually feel normal when you forget what the hell you're going through until it starts wearing off. But the whole point is just to keep it in constant flow, in your body. I go back in a couple of weeks and then back in the hospital beginning of next month just to go over everything. And then the hearing is it's everything. I have to respect disability, federal and state. I have to respect where there's open cases and decisions that were mailed to me. I was surprised, but I wasn't surprised because I have to be a realist person too. And you sometimes realize is when you're surrounding yourself with people that for whatever reason is their decision, their behavior, their actions, and how they feel about your chronic illness is sometimes if you're around it too long, you start really start, it starts playing with your head. You start wondering, are these people like wanting me not? Okay, they're not wanting me to have chronic illness. They're wanting me as an old person, but they're not respecting what I'm going through. And it starts mentally twisting you. And I see psychologically with therapy what they mean. You start acting like nothing's going on. And then your doctors start picking up on it. And you start not making wise choices of pros versus cons and medicines and choices that you should make. And then when you cut yourself off all that nonsense, you gain valuable, precious time. You're actually able to accomplish things. You feel a little bit of normalcy because now you chose to go this route with palliative care. You chose to go this route with oncology, and you're not around the stress. You think clear. You're not anxiety filled. Not want to panic attacks. You like normalcy. Logical thinking and putting yourself in situations and unhealthy environments and people. You're not going to get anything but unhealthy situations and unhealthy environments with unhealthy people. And that's going to take time away from your life every day. I'm picking up on things that were bought for the house last year, last fall, that because of all this conflict and negativity and nonsense, I'm actually now picking up where I left off. I'm standing back looking at a house that doesn't look anything like it did when first bought it. And it feels amazing. I'm just going to say this for cancer patients, oncology patients. I must say this. It comes from me by experience. Don't go wasting your precious, valuable time. Don't go wasting your life. You're going to regret the time wasted. And it's a lot of time. If you spend it around unhealthy environments and situations and people and things, you got to take care and think of yourself first. And there's nothing wrong with being selfish. And people who don't get it, well, they've obviously never been in oncology where I was a patient. And they don't know what it's like. And it really doesn't matter. Because those are probably the people that are unhealthy you shouldn't be around in the first place. And look at all the time you wasted. And don't be afraid, when you're sat down and it's an uncomfortable conversation. I had it with, my hospital specialist. Like I said before, I've had that conversation of where we're looking in the future and it doesn't look great. But we have to understand it's real. And this is going to happen. This is the way it is. Don't be afraid when they come approach you with medicine because they want to see you have a normal life without being in pain and be able to have some energy. And even though it's fake energy, okay, it's activated off of pharmaceutical medicine, and that's my energy, and that's the truth. Don't be afraid. And don't worry about what anybody else thinks. At the end of the journey, all that stuff's not going to matter. It's not going to matter. It's not going to matter. when you're positioning yourself to go home to heaven, you know, you start visioning, you're not visioning because your loved ones are literally coming and waiting for you and bringing you up to heaven, and your fur babies are too, because I believe that's what happens. You know, it's not going to matter what anybody thinks about you. About, oh, you know, oh, you have the illness for so long, blah, 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 blah. And people who are so, like, not supportive and are just nasty and downright vicious and evil when you're already going through hell with your health, you know, let God handle them, you know. Let the universe, let the Lord handle it. You know, it's not your battle. It's not your battle to have, okay? It's just not. And I'm saying this to anybody, you know, with oncology specifically. It's not your battle to have. Just don't. Don't. You gotta know when just, no. Mm-mm. You gotta focus on yourself. Selfish season is a perfect season. I suggest everyone who's an oncology patient do so and take all the time that you need. Don't be afraid, because I used to be a person. Don't be afraid to try new things. You know, don't be afraid of, you know, the cons, because if they're coming and presenting drugs to you, they're going to help you have some energy, whether it's fake energy or not. Mine's fake energy. It's fine. Who cares? It's energy, right? I accomplished things this weekend on fake energy. The cons? Okay. Yeah. I'm losing more weight. All right. Okay. That's fine. You know, they'll help you when you get to that point. Okay. You know, you don't know until you try, you know, and not every drug under palliative care or hospice care is going to be meant for you. And they may change things up, and that's okay too. Okay. You got to be pessimistic, but you got to be optimistic too. I think you got to be 50-50 as an oncology patient. But I'm going to say this in this podcast is people who berate you, they make fun of you, they put you in bad situations as an oncology patient, and you're going through enough, fall into, per my trauma therapist, they fall into three classes of people. These are people who have not had people for them during some type of trauma or event in their life, whether it was domestic violence, whether it was abuse, whether it was neglect, whether they were bullied, okay? And they feel they didn't get it, so you're not either. These are the kind of people class two. They feel you deserve it. They may not like you. They may not care for you. They may not like that you are, a person who shares how they feel. They may not like that because they're probably an inward person. They don't share emotions. They don't have any emotions. They mask everything. Okay. So they feel you deserve it. That's a twisted, I know. It's a twisted way of thinking, but there are people like that who cause you more problems as an oncology patient than helping you. You wonder why. Okay. Or you got the third kind of person. It's a narcissistic as hell person who just doesn't give a damn about you. But really, it's not about you. They don't give a damn about anybody but themselves, because they're miserable, unhappy souls. There's only three reasons why human beings and human psyche does not realize when people are sick and they go through oncology and the treatments didn't work and your condition progresses, that they act like nothing's going on with you. Nothing's wrong. The worst is they project it out and tell other people. That is insane. And when you get yourself away from all that, you realize how crazy, insane that is. Well, guess what? Don't worry about insane and crazy. Because I'll say it again. You can't change people's behavior and their way of thinking. All you can do is change your own behavior and your own response. And just don't be around it. You don't need the negativity. Because you're going to start being negative yourself. You're going to lose a lot of valuable, precious time. You're going to lose time. Don't do it. You know? If you need to get a therapist and sit down to stop the love bombing and love trauma and love cycle, or no matter if it's a relation or family or friend or best friend or boyfriend or fiance, or you got to sit down and cut the cycle and do it. You know? And you'll realize how insane it is to say stuff like that. You know? It is. But no, you're an oncology patient, boy. And you're around people who act like nothing's wrong with you, you start mentally twisting in your head. You start thinking there's something wrong with you. When you start having your specialist sit you down and they're going by medical imaging, well, listen, you know, what you're going through is real. And if you're around people that want to pretend like nothing's going on, and if they can't be a support, they're in or they're out. I had a gastroenterologist in Ohio say it and said it best. Either you're in or out. You're supportive or you're not. If you're not, bye. Stay out. If you're supportive, great. Let's see it. I'll just say it. Let's see it. You know? Just please don't waste your time. Don't waste your valuable, precious time. Don't waste it. You know, when you start realizing how serious things are, you max out treatments and your condition's progressing, and that tumor came back, and now it's picking up speed, and you're starting to have pain that you never had before you even start oncology treatments. And you got your oncology group, you got your hospice or palliative care sitting down, and they're saying, listen, we need to look at what we're facing because it's not good. You better take it damn seriously. You better cut the you know what and start focusing on yourself. That's right, peace and calm. You earned it. You deserve every last ounce of energy that you can get your hands a hold of. Period. Don't you ever worry about anybody else. You worry about yourself. You are never going to control people's behavior, their actions, or lack of. You know, that's the truth. I was on a TikTok live not that long ago, and ironically, join in on a chat with a young girl who's a breast cancer warrior, and she went through the fast track treatments. She went through all that. She went through all this and this and this, and exactly how I went through, and she's where I'm at now. You know, she's on that last hurrah, and things are getting worse, and trying to manage the pain. And as she said, having no appetite and keeping your calories up, you know, and you just watch the scale go down, 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 down. And I was in my one mid 140s, and now I'm like 126, you know, 123, 126. Once you go under 120, you know, that's a flag. But she gets it, you know. But she also said too is you come out thinking differently. She got out of a domestic violence relationship, her boyfriend, and as she said, I couldn't believe it. She said all the stress and what the toll it took on me. And now, as she said, 2 years later, I look at where I'm at now, and it's just me and my kids, my two boys and me. I don't ever want a relationship again, and that's fine because I know where I'm at with my health. I tried everything I could. I was like you. I tried all the treatments. I did everything, and now she's under palliative care as well, a little bit longer to palliative care than I have been, and they're still working with, as she said, trying to get the pain under control. The nausea, as she said, ever left. You're just not hungry. I respect that. I know how that is. You try everything and you go for the calories, but you can't go for the high fat, but you have to try to tinker in your calories. And it's a hard juggling act. But as she said, I can't juggle all that and then deal with negativity or people that just want to bring me down and people aren't supportive. I don't want to be around that. I don't want to be around that for the rest of my life, as she said. I'm fine at this part of my journey. She said, I know where I stand. I want to be surrounded by my boys. You know, I'm going to be here at the house. You know, I'm not in that relationship anymore, you know, and now I think clearly and I've focused on my health. And as she said, there's nothing left, you know, as far as treatments. And she said, I understand what you mean. There's nothing left for her either. Just living the best life right now. You know, I told her, stay away from the negativity. Focus on yourself. You know, try different things, diet. You're always going to have to try. But don't change something if it's not broken, if it continues working. Or, you know, keep it in your diet. But live. The best advice I can say is you continue living life the best you can. People who don't understand what you're going through are the people who have never been even close, even in near your shoes of where you're at. And usually the people that aren't even and have never been an oncology patient. So don't sweat the big or small stuff, especially when it comes to people, you know? Here's a picture. Proud of myself. Got a lot done this weekend, where I left off last year. It's amazing what you can accomplish and do when you're not afraid to try meds that the pros outweigh the cons, and you let the decision lie not in people who don't know what they're talking about, that don't hold a PhD or a medical license, but you allow it to the people who have the degree that are working with other patients, okay? And you try what's out there. You know, you'll deal with the cons, that's fine. Right now, we'll work about the pros, you know? Allow people. All I can say is what I received through the mail is not surprising. The letters back that'll be going into the hearing. But I can't let that influence me negatively. I'm still going to be this new optimistic person going into hearing because I don't know what's going to happen, and nobody really does. It's a judge's decision, and it's going to be probably a lengthy decision. I can see this going a stack of things, probably more than one hearing, and it could be a while. But I'll continue in the meantime, staying away what doesn't serve me well, never did, never will, no way, no how, and focusing on me, my fur babies, positive energy, and an envision of a place, the crazy days of wanting to live on the beach and what I envisioned a house to be and making it, still your own, just not by the beach or the ocean, a safer land, let's just say. And focus on you, all you cancer patients, oncology patients, focus on yourself, focus on your happiness, and please, please, please don't forget, savor your energy. Be selfish about it. It's okay, selfish season, use it on yourself. Always remember peace and calm. It really truly does help the body. It helps, what you're dealing with medically, but most importantly, it'll help along the long run. It'll help your soul. Amen.